Zechariah chapter 8. We have four verses left here in this chapter. You know, the Bible is not an ancient book that has no application today. The Bible is present day truth. It's just as fresh as the newspaper or the radio. And it's just uncanny in the text that we're in tonight with the events of our world that have even happened today. But the Bible rules the world, and it tells what's going to happen, and nobody can stop that. And we're going to read this, and it's going to be interesting to look through the scriptures tonight. We'll be reading quite a few verses in the Bible as we start here in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 20, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Isn't that a great passage? Now, you know, you would think as you read the things of the events of history and of our day that something like this would never, ever come to pass. That Israel and the Jew and Jerusalem, as mentioned in this text, is sort of the offscouring of the world. She sort of stands on her own little place there with basically the whole world against her. But this text is a prophecy of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. It points to the day when Christ Jesus returns to this earth. And then, when He returns to this earth, not only the United States of America will recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, but they will recognize Jerusalem as the capital of the world. Won't that be a day? And so that's what this text is talking about. The whole world's eyes will be upon them and the events that are going on in Jerusalem, not for evil, but for good. And this is a prophecy of a day that is coming when men, all men, are really going to be seeking the Lord. Now, it is true that when I say all men will be seeking the world, seeking the Lord, that is all men that are left. You understand? Because the nations and those that have risen up against God and against His people at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be destroyed. And then the remnant of that will begin to flow toward Jesus as the King of this world and flow toward the city of Jerusalem. Now, let's look at verse 20, and I'll just go through it quickly, and then we'll read a bunch of scriptures that also back up. It's not just Zechariah that says these things. Verse 20, let's start again. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass." The Lord says this, this is surely going to occur. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter, as in Zechariah's day, if you Jewish people are a little bitty remnant there, if you don't have much power, if the rest of the world thinks it's an impossibility, if all the strength and the power of the nations of the world is very large and is against you, it doesn't matter what politicians say. It doesn't matter how many League of Nations or United Nations or how many countries gather themselves against the Word of God or against His people. It shall yet come to pass. God is going to do His work no matter what man does. Man's going to do what he's going to do, but God is going to do what God's going to do. And we need to never forget that, because, you know, sometimes things look a very different way in our present circumstances. And sometimes even in the near future. And I would preach this just like this if the president we have now was not in the office that he's in, and if our government was not friendly to Israel, and if we were making decrees against them. It doesn't change the truth that what God says will come to pass. It doesn't matter how it looks right now. God has the final say. And who hath stood against the Lord? Who's withstood His will? You can't overcome the decrees of God. And we need to remember that, because, you know, sometimes in our own lives, things in the present, or as far as we can see in the near future, sometimes we can't figure all that out. But we still have to lean on the Lord, knowing that His Word is going to come true, and every promise that He's made us will come to pass. Because God keeps His Word. He doesn't lie. And it doesn't matter if it was said thousands of years before, He's still going to bring it to pass. Let's keep reading. Verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people. You know what we wait for? We're waiting for the people. When are the people going to come? When are the people going to get on God's side? When are people going to actually seek the Lord or receive the Lord or come to the Lord? We have billions of people in this world, and the vast majority of them could care less about coming to the Lord. But it's not always going to be that way. There is coming a day that the Bible says there shall come people. The people are coming. I'm sure that was an encouragement to Zechariah. That was an encouragement to the little remnant in Israel. Hey, the people are coming. You can't see them, but they're on the way. There shall come people. Watch this. And the inhabitants of many cities. Watch this. Verse 21. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. 22. Yea, look at it. Many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. I don't think you really realize how that must have been such an encouragement to this small group of people that were standing with God in the place that God had put them, who looked so outnumbered to all the strong nations of the world. And God comes in and says, hey, guess what? There's going to be many cities and strong nations and many people that are coming your way. And though it looks like you're the only ones that are worshiping the true God, one day many people are going to come right where you are and do the same thing. You look like you're outnumbered, but the day's not over. The last bell's not chimed yet. He says in verse 23, look at it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations. Out of all the languages of the nations. Did you see that? All the languages of the nations. So they're not going to, whatever nations are left when Christ comes again to this earth, all those nations, all of them, they're going to say, hey, let's go there. Let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go see Jesus. Let's find us a Jew and say, hey, we want to go with you. Show us how to get there. What a turn of events. Because we live in a world where the nations of the world couldn't care less about the Lord. But they're going to take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. We want to be with you. We want to go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. We are interested in God. So this is surely going to come to pass, but secondly, it's going to be worldwide. You guys understand how much in the minority we really are. I mean, sometimes in Alabama, you know, we're here in Alabama, and there's a little bit more majority of us in Alabama than there are in New York State. You know, if you go to other areas of the country, you will find how alone you are with your views, especially if they are biblical views. In Alabama, it's a little different. I mean, we've got some people still in this state. Praise the Lord for that. But in most of the areas of this country, that is not the case. And then in the rest of the world, oh, you are just really strange. But the Bible says there's coming a day where the whole world, the whole world is going to agree with us. What are they going to agree with us about? That the only person in the world that's important is Jesus Christ. You know, the world doesn't believe that. But there's coming a day that the whole world, every language in the world, is going to agree that our whole lives need to be centered on that man that's on the throne, and that's the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the Son of God. And they're going to go out of all the nations, all the multitudes, all the cities, and they're going to go to each other and say, if you'll go, I'll go. It's worldwide. So it surely will come to pass. It's worldwide. But I like this. Look at verse 21 again. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily. So this event that brings the whole world to Jesus in Jerusalem is not only something that is sure, not just something that's worldwide, but they're doing it zealously. They're doing it urgently. They're not just saying, you know, let's plan to go to Jerusalem sometime. No, he says, let us go speedily. Hey, let's go right now. How quickly can we get there? They can't get to Jesus fast enough. Woo, what a day. You talk about a change to the Great Commission. We have been tasked to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've been tasked to go on the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. We go out there and try to persuade men. Hey, you need to come to Jesus. We try to persuade them. You need Christ. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul was a wonderful persuader. He tried to persuade people. You usually try to persuade people about something they're not so sure about. And we're trying to, you can't talk anybody into getting saved or into the fact that Jesus Christ should be their Savior. But we try to do our best to try to show them that the way they think is messed up and they need to think another way. And we try to bring them to Christ.
Amen.
We try to, as the Bible says, pull them out of the fire, right? Jude said. We try to have compassion on and make a difference in their lives. But what a day is coming when nobody is going and begging anybody to come to Christ, but they're running to try to find somebody that can take them to Christ. Can you imagine if you pulled up to the gas station, you're filling up gas, and somebody runs up to you and says, can you please, please take me to Jesus? Show me Jesus. How do I get to Jesus? Right now. Let us go speedily. Well, it's not Sunday yet. No, I want to go now. I want to find Jesus now. The zeal and the urgency is coming one day where the whole world is going to want to get to Him. That blesses my heart. Because what do we do? You know, we knock doors. It's hard to see people that are zealously seeking God. But we still do it, right? We're supposed to. We've got a commandment to do that. But man, there's coming a day that's just going to flip right around. Let us go speedily. What are they going to do? Look at it. Three things. They're all going to come all over the world to Jerusalem for three reasons. Number one, 21, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord. So they all want to come to the Lord, to pray to the Lord, to pray before the Lord. And he says in verse 21, and to seek the Lord of hosts, I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. You know why they're doing that? It's because the Lord of hosts is in Jerusalem. So they said, man, I want to go to Jerusalem so I can stand before the Lord and I can pray. You know, I tell you what, when we pray, what do? We pray to somebody we can't see. In this day, they're going to be praying to somebody they can see. The Lord's sitting there on the throne and they're going to get down. Amen. I believe this. Every knee is going to bow, right? Every tongue's going to confess. Yes, you're the Lord. I want to talk to you. I really need your help. And they'll be able to see him. Why are you going to Jerusalem? Well, I got to talk to the Lord. You see, we pray with the Lord's in heaven, right? He's not in this world. What a day is coming when he is in the world and you can go talk to him. No wonder the whole world says, we got to go to Jerusalem. Where are you going? Well, I get to talk to the Lord. I'm going to go there and I'm going to pray before him. You know, you can barely talk Christian people into a prayer meeting. Maybe it's because today prayer is such an act of faith. And in this day, it doesn't take a lot of faith to go pray before somebody that's sitting in front of you. But the just is supposed to live by faith. We ought to have just as much zeal and enthusiasm and desire to go pray before the Lord. Even, you know what, if you found out that he was going to be here tonight at 11:30, would you be here? You would say, well, man, 11:30, man, we got to get to bed. You wouldn't do that, would you? You said, man, we're going to clear the calendar. Honey, I don't know what you're doing. It don't matter. I don't know what's happening tomorrow. If the Lord says, I'm going to be here at 11:30 tonight. And if you want to, you can come and pray to me and talk to me. I'll be here in the flesh. Who would miss that? Okay, so he's not here in the flesh, but he says he's here. He says, I'm in the midst of the church, right? He said, if two or three are gathered together, there what? There am I. There's a disconnect, people. I remember years ago, we used to have cottage prayer meetings, and people would get together and they would pray for God to move in their lives and move in the church. And those were wonderful times, but I tell you what, it wasn't the highest attended meeting of the year. And that's why you could have them in people's houses, because you knew everybody wasn't going to come. There's coming a day where the whole world is going to want to go and talk to Jesus. And would to God we that have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, that know the Word of God, that know Jesus, would to God we would have a greater desire to go before him and do the same, though we can't see him. He's still there. Where are you going? I'm going to the prayer meeting. Now, wait a minute. It's one thing if you have to drive 30 minutes to get to the prayer meeting. It's another thing if you have to come from 5,000 miles away in another nation. Do you understand the bigness of what we're talking about? All the nations of the world. I got my tickets. Where are you going on vacation? No, I'm going to see the Lord. Going to ride the boat. Man, it's going to take us 2 weeks to get there. Oh, you going on a cruise? No, I'm going to pray. Haven't you heard? Jesus is in Jerusalem. The Lord of hosts is in Jerusalem. And he says we can all come and talk to him. I got my ticket. What's it going to cost you? Doesn't matter. I'm going to get to see the Lord. What a day. They're going to pray. He said in verse 21, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. He says that also in verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. So they're not just praying. As Psalm 65:2 says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. But not only they're praying, but they're seeking Him. You know, when you're seeking something, you're not just, it's not the same as just praying. Seek and ye shall find. Seeking is a diligent look for something. There's coming a day where the whole world, out of all the nations of the earth, all the languages of the earth, they're going to come and seek God to find out about Him. Right now, you know, the Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. There's coming a day the whole world's going to seek after God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. Well, there's coming a day where everybody's going to seek Him. You know why? Because they're going to know that He's the only thing in this world that has any power, any value, because He just defeated the Antichrist and the false prophet and all the religions of the world, amen, and all the armies of the world, and He did it that fast. And they said, man, we have got to find out more about this guy that's on the throne. Seek the Lord while He may be found. He'll be found there because everybody knows where to find Him. He says, I'm just letting the whole world know I'm here in Jerusalem if you want to come see me. If you want to find me, not hard to find me. I'm going to be sitting right here in Jerusalem. What a wonderful promise. The Turkish president says, oh, we're going to have trouble if you're going to say Jerusalem's a place. Hey, buddy, it's not just the place for Israel. It's the place for God. Amen. It's not going to be Mecca. It's not going to be Salt Lake City. It's not going to be some other religious city or place in this world. The whole world's going to know if you want to find God, right there He is. It's in Jerusalem, in a certain place, on a certain throne. And anybody that wants to, you can go there. And everybody says, let's buy the ticket. We want to find Him. We want to talk to Him. We want to see Him. We want to touch Him. It's not Rome, brother. They're not going to line up at the Pope and kiss his big toe or his ring. No, they're going to come to Jerusalem to see the King of Kings and the Lord. Because the Lord of hosts, He said, verse 22, look at it, to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. That's where He is. So I say to our president, I salute you, sir. You may not know anything else, but you know the importance of Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing that such a small city could make the whole world go nuts? I mean, Jerusalem doesn't even have 1 million people in it. There's not even you can take the top, I don't know how many cities of this world have much more than 1 million people. I've been to Jerusalem. That little place, why is everybody so mad about it? Because the devil knows something about that place. That's where he's going to sit. You say, does declaring Israel to be the capital of Jerusalem, does that mean Jesus is coming? No, but it's going to be the capital of Jerusalem and the world anyway, and nobody's going to be able to stop that. I'm just glad to be a part to say, yeah, I recognize that. You know, they says they're going to seek the Lord in Jerusalem. You remember in the book of Acts when Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch? And the Ethiopian, that's another country, right? Another nation, another land. Ethiopia is from Africa to Israel. That's pretty good distance to go by chariot. And what's the Ethiopian eunuch doing as he's riding the chariot? He's reading the scripture. He's seeking God. What is an Ethiopian eunuch doing seeking God? And why is he going to Jerusalem? Because that Ethiopian had enough sense to know, if I'm going to find out about God, I need to go to Jerusalem. And he went to Jerusalem. You know what? He found out about God. But it wasn't from the Pharisee or the scribe or the chief priest. God sent a preacher and said, go run to that chariot. Yeah, man, go jump in there and tell him what he's reading. and tell them about Christ. He came here because of Christ. He just didn't know it. He's reading about Christ. But he was traveling to Jerusalem to seek God. And he found him.
Amen.
One of these days, it's not just going to be a eunuch. They're all going to come by droves to my Jesus. Even so, come quickly, Lord. They go to pray. They go to seek the Lord. And then the Bible says, look at verse 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. Now that's a very humbling. You remember that in Luke 8:44, where they came and just touched the bottom of the Lord's garment? That's a very humbling thing. So the Bible says 10 men is going to find one Jew. Oh, you're a Jew. And they're just going to grab his skirt, humbling themselves. They're going to take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, watch it now, we will go with you. Not going to take hold of him to hurt him, but take a hold of him because they want to be with him. We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Why are they going to Jerusalem? Because they're going there to pray, they're going to seek God, and they're going there to be with all of the other people that God is with. You know, there's coming a day where people aren't going to want to be with the wicked crowd. They're going to want to be with the people that God is with. They're going to want to be. He says that God is with you. That reminds us what? Of Matthew 1:23, right? Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Right now, God's with us. But you know what? The most of the world could care less if he's with us or not with us, because they're not interested in him. But there's coming a day that the whole world that's left is going to want to be around anybody that God is with. We've heard God's with you. We want to be with you. Can we stay with you? Can we go with you? Can we know you? Can we be around you? Can we fellowship with you? Aren't you interested in all those people back in your nation? No, they're all dead. The earth opened up and swallowed them whole. All the demons that came out of hell ate on them. Those devils, those locusts. No, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, he got all them. No, we're not interested in those people. We want to be with you because God's with you. You know, that would be a great testimony if God was with us, church, to the extent that somebody would really want to be with us. If they would sense about our lives a presence of God and say, you know, that's what I need. I'm tired of the hell that's at my house. I want to be with you guys. That day's coming. So he says, out of all the languages of the nations, by the way, if you take little notes in your Bible, you might want to write down Zephaniah 3:9, because the Bible does say that during this millennium, God's going to, well, let me just read it. It was just a couple pages back in Zephaniah, not Zechariah, in Zephaniah chapter 3. All these people from all over the world, right, are coming to Jerusalem. Well, they all speak different languages, correct, as we just read here. Out of all the languages of the earth, of the nations. So let me ask you a question. How's a guy that's, they're coming to Jerusalem, how are they going to all communicate well? You say, well, the Lord can do it. Yeah, he can. But then the Lord's going to do an amazing thing. This is great. I love the Bible. I love these little facts here. In Zephaniah 3:9, and this is after, in context of the Lord's judgment upon all the nations that assembled against him when he came to this earth. He says in Zephaniah 3:9, that's 3:8, but in Zephaniah 3:9 he says, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. You know what I believe is going to happen in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? That curse that happened when God came down to Babel and he confused all the languages, in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, he's going to undo that, and everybody's going to get to speak the same language. You know why? Because they're all speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now communication can be freely. He interrupted the communication before because men got together not to seek God, but to build their own works against God. That's why we have hundreds of different languages, thousands in the world. Can you imagine some dude from Africa coming to Jerusalem and walking in there and all of a sudden everybody speaks the same language? A pure language. That's going to happen. You say, what language is that? Well, he told you, a pure language. Amen. This is a great thing. Now, let's read some things here that corroborate all this. Go back to Zechariah, but look at chapter 2. Let's read a little scripture and we'll be finished tonight. So, there's coming a day, and I don't believe it'll be too far in the future. I really don't. That's my belief. There's coming a day where Jesus Christ is going to rule this world with Jerusalem as the capital of the world. Israel will be the head of all the nations, and the Jew will be the central figure upon the earth. You say, well, what about all of us? Well, we're going to be with Jesus. We're like Him. When everybody that's living around looks at us, they won't know a difference between us and Jesus. We'll be like Him. We'll have a glorified body. We're not going to be flesh and blood like the rest of the people. We got a glorified, resurrected body, living and reigning with Jesus Christ. So for all those people maybe that are stuck in Argentina, right, and they can't get to Jerusalem, Brother Paul will be there for them. Right. I mean, it's a big world, right? And Jesus said, I'm going to stay right here in Jerusalem. If you want to come find me, I'm right here. Well, now, he's going to be there for 1,000 years. You got plenty of time to get there. But if you live in Siberia, it might take you a while. What's going to be until you can get there? Well, we're going to live and reign with Christ. And Jesus talked about dishing out all those cities of rulership to all those that have been faithful to Him. We're going to be representing the Lord Jesus all over this world. Amen. Great. Zechariah 2. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come. Yes, He is. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. So He's going to take people in that are not even a part of Israel, because they came to Him. I will dwell in the midst of thee. Thou shalt know the Lord. Know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah's portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose what? In Jerusalem again. Look at chapter 14 of Zechariah. 14, verse 16. Chapter 14, verse 16. Now, this didn't get a lot of attention, but so much of the Bible, especially in the prophets, talks about this day. Because this is not an important day to most people, but it's an important day to God. Matter of fact, this is probably a more important day to God. To God, I will tread lightly here. This is probably what we're reading about is a more important day to God than Calvary was. Calvary was an awful day for God, because He had to watch His own Son suffer and bleed and die. That was a terrible day for God. Now that's the greatest day for you. That's a great day for me. But from God's viewpoint, the day that they mocked and crucified and spit upon, and when His Son was slain, that wasn't the greatest day on the face of the earth. The greatest day is when He's going to get His due, when He'll be in charge, when He will be glorified before all. That'll be the day for God. So the Bible speaks much of it. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. And humanity's like that. Humanity, we're always focused on us, you know. We're interested in how it affects me. Instead of, man, how does this make God feel? Well, He's going to feel really good right here. Zechariah 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left, that's a whole other message, of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Well, there's another incentive to go seek and pray for him. Y'all want rain? Boy, I'm glad I've got a God that even controls the rain. 18, and if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, and have no rain, there shall be the plague. Okay, you didn't respond. It's sort of like God deals with us. He chastens us. We don't respond. It gets a little worse. You guys need to come up to my son. No, no rain today then. We still don't want to come. All right, you get the plague. Wherewith the Lord will smite. How's that? Have a nice day. Here's your plague. Well, we had a lot going on. We didn't want to go worship God today. Woo! The Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem, there it is, and in Judah shall be holiness. Even the pots, he said, everything in Jerusalem is going to be holy. So what's that? Well, that's a holy pot. Well, you got water in it. Yeah, but it's in Jerusalem, and God's here, and that's holy. Everything here is holy. Why? Because that guy over there sitting on the throne, he's the Lord. And when he came, he made everything holy. That's great. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. All right, now go to Isaiah, or go to Micah chapter 4. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Micah chapter 4. Just reading now. I'm really finished with the message. But just reading. God, this is special to God. You wait till God declares Jerusalem to be the capital. Woo! Son! Everybody else say, yes, sir. We'll go. No more mocking the Jews then. Yeah. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. And of course, Zion, that's Jerusalem we're fixing to read, shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. Watch it. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He'll be speaking there. 3, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. Now watch this now. Look how the UN has twisted the Bible. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Why? Because Jesus is here. And everybody's going to go to Jesus and do what Jesus wants to be done. And until that happens, until you go to Jesus, all you're going to do is fight. Isaiah 2. Let's read that again. Isaiah chapter 2. You know why people fuss and fight? Because they don't have the Prince of Peace ruling in their heart. That's what it is. And one of these days there's going to be no more war. And the whole world talks about that and they write about that. But those people that talk about that so much and write about that so much are the ones that are facilitating it to continue. Isaiah chapter 2. The biggest problem to peace in the Middle East are people that want peace in the Middle East. Because what has to happen before there can be peace, somebody's got to win. Guess who's going to win? Jesus is going to win. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days. I believe we're itching there. Inching rather closely. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. That's what we've been reading. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mount of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. You say, why did God repeat that twice? Just because he thought you needed it. Look at chapter 45, Isaiah 45. Most of the rest of these I'll read are in Isaiah. Isaiah 45, verse 11. Isaiah 45, 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come. You want to know what's going to come? Here it is. Concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands that have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, look at it, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. He said, all these people are coming to the city of God, the city that God built of the people of Israel. Drop down to verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. You see, that proclamation is going to go through the whole world. And they're going to say, wow, let's go. He said, 23, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Watch it. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Hey, everybody come to me. I'm over here in Jerusalem. And they're going to come and every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to swear allegiance to him. 24, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness. Woo! When I met the Lord, he's my righteousness. In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Look at chapter 49. Isaiah 49, verse 22. Isaiah 49, 22, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up... You know, Gentiles don't like this stuff too much. You know why? Let's read this. Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. These people that come to Jerusalem, they're not just going to grab hold very humbly of a skirt of a Jew and say, can I go with you? 10 men on one Jew. Let's go with you. But they're going to bow down before the Jewish people and lick up the dust from their feet. Who is that? That's the Gentiles. You know what? We all just stop back and say, Lord, thank you that I'm in this day of grace and I'm in the church, because I was a Gentile dog and that's what I deserved. I deserved going to Jerusalem and getting down before a Jew and licking up the dust at the feet of a Jew. And it's going to happen in the millennium. No wonder people despise the people of Israel so much. Anybody that's got that much authority and power and control, rebels hate them. Look at chapter 66, Isaiah 66. And this is the last thing we'll turn to. Isaiah 66, verse 10. Wish I had time to really go slowly. I'm going to just read this. It's a great text for you to study. Isaiah 66, verse 10. Look at it. Rejoice ye with who? Jerusalem. And be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. He's talking about the fact that everything you're going to need, you're going to have to go to Jerusalem and get from them. That ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. And the glory of the Gentiles. You see that? Like a flowing stream, then shall ye suck, ye shall be born upon her side and be dandled upon her knees. It's like she's their mother. Look at verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And ye shall be comforted where? Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like a herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree, in the midst eating swine's flesh and the abomination of the mouth, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations to Tarshish, Pul and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal and to Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. You understand what's happening? At the millennium, beginning of the millennium, after Armageddon, God's going to send people everywhere, and they hadn't heard about Jesus, but they're fixing to hear about him. And they're going to come to Jerusalem and hear of his glory and see his glory. Verse 20. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses. So these Jews that are scattered out, they're going to come with them, you see. For an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in leaders and upon mules and upon swift beasts. Where are they going? To my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass, look at it, watch it. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, I love this, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And when they go, you know what they're going to pass by as they're going to worship God in Jerusalem? The last verse of Isaiah. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die. Does that sound familiar? Neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. All the world comes to Jerusalem. While they're going, they see the carcasses of those that rejected Jesus Christ and hated Jesus Christ. And there they sit rotting. And not only they're rotting, but their souls in hell. And they abhor them. And the whole world doesn't want to have anything to do with that crowd that hated God. But while they're going, they said, boy, I don't want to be like that. I don't want that. I want him. I want him. I can't stand all that. And you know why that probably was such an encouragement to Zechariah? Here's the people of Israel, chastened, put into captivity, and now coming back. You know what Hebrews 12 says? No chastening for the present seems joyous, but afterward it yieldeth forth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. God had something so much better waiting on Israel, and does to this day, after all they've been through. Now, all they've been through was His chastening hand. But He lets them know, after the chastening is over, look at this peaceable fruit I'm going to give you. You know what? That's just not true about Israel. That's true about our lives. God brings chastening in our lives and correction in our lives. It's hard to go through all that. But we need to look at the end of that way. Lord, I'll take Your whipping if it corrects me and gets me to the peaceable fruit at the end of the line. And that's going to happen with Israel, and that's going to happen with all those who know the Lord.